in the 10th chapter of the Gospel by John, Jesus begins with pointing out the fact that there could be many, many shepherds. But he says, if the shepherd doesn't come by the door, he's a thief and a robber. And of course, the door are the scriptures. Does he come fitting the scriptures? You remember when Jesus was on the cross. Naturally speaking, you don't know how he could have still been alive. And yet, there was one scripture that had yet to be fulfilled. He said, I thirst. And a man ran and took a sponge of vinegar and held it to his lips. And he said, it is finished. He had come through the door. Now there are many people, many, that claim to be the Christ. All the religions that are about us. You can make many choices. You think, and I don't hesitate to say that, I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but I'd rather hurt your feelings than see you burn in the devil's hell throughout eternity. And we have our army over there fighting. Whether there are any Muslims that are saved or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you, Muslim, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. If Jesus Christ is not your personal Savior, you're heading for a devil's hell. And here Jesus, in this 10th chapter, says something, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not. He don't come to do you good, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I recognize most of you are saved. I hope all of you are. If not, you can be. But as we gather here this morning, there are two great powers that control the human race. And they are seeking control of every life. And of course, the one power is that of God himself. There is no power that can challenge his power. And then the other is second only to God. Even the great archangel, as he would rebuke him, he said, the Lord rebuke you. Now Jesus here said, that the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And history proves this conclusively. Look back. This war, another war. Now, I'm not against the wars. They have to be. And they bring about certain things, and that's another subject, so I won't get into it. But he said he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, some of you have read or heard of, or maybe even saw the movie titled In Cold Blood. And that was a true story. I have relatives that live in Kansas, and the story is of these two young convicts who were imprisoned in the Kansas State Prison in Lansing, Kansas, where I have many relatives, and Sister Hill had many. And there they sat and plotted to steal, to kill, and to destroy a family of four, a mother and a father and a boy and a girl, in Garden City, Kansas. And it's such a chilling description of what those two young men planned and did, that it reminds me of the devil's plan and purpose for every son of Adam's race. And of course, Genesis 2:7 tells us how God created the first man, and he called him Adam. And like a forest of oak trees, if you have a vision for it, you could see in one single acorn a forest of oak trees. You could see oak trees covering every part of the world where they would survive in one acorn, because the acorn is the father of all the oak trees. And so the Bible tells us the uncounted and multiplied millions of the human race were all in Adam. When God created that man in the garden, every human being was in his loins. And 1 Corinthians 15:45 tells us that Adam was made a living soul and was of the earth earthy. And as is the earthy, that is, as Adam is earthy, such are all of his children. Now, when you came into this world, you just came in of the earth, of the clay, of the dirt, like everybody else did, that body of yours. But in Genesis, we read the story of how Satan, the stealer, the killer, and the destroyer came into the Garden of Eden. He had a plan, and he persuaded Adam to go against God, disobey God, and thus he captured him and made him a sinner. And this was before he ever had a child. Thus, every offspring of Adam and Eve were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. Now, that don't mean the relation that a man and a woman has is necessarily sinful. That means that the seed of Adam that she conceived was a sinful seed. And so it is when John Hill took to wife Ida Feeback in the old hills of Kentucky well over 100 years ago. I was in that man's loins, and I was brought into the earth in 1910, and I was conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. I tried to be a good boy. My daddy went to be with the Lord before I was 3 years of age, and my mom taught me right, and I tried to be good, but you see, I wasn't good. I was bad. And my nature led me to many vile and vulgar acts and things that were detrimental to me as well as others. And so Then Romans 3 confirms this fact. It's one of the great seven catalogs of sin that describe man in the Bible. And under sin, we read there were none righteous. No, not one. There were none that understood. No, not one. All were gone out of the way. None that do good. No, not one. All had sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're here, you've never been saved, you're on your way to hell. And you will ultimately land in a devil's hell unless you allow God to work his purpose in you. You see, the devil has a purpose. He tells you he's going to give you a good time, you precious young people, listen to me. He'll tell you he's going to give you a good time. He isn't going to give you a good time. He is here to excite you maybe for a little while, get you entangled in dope or something of that nature. But his purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you fool with him, and he'll do that very thing. Unless you are saved. I'll get to that, explain it to you a little later. But God so loved the human race that he gave his only begotten Son to be made sin and to die on the cross in the sinner's stead, so that whosoever, he said, would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. So Romans 5:17 through 21 tells us that by Adam's offense, because of his offense before God, death, death reigned over all his offspring. And yet all of the race who accept the abundance of God's grace and his gift of righteousness receive eternal life. And in Christ you can reign in life by Jesus Christ, the second Adam, who was made a quickening spirit. You'll read that in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. So we're told how each of Adam's children reign. And you're reigning one way or the other. You're reigning unto death, or you're reigning unto life. What an awesome thing. We're told how each Adam does reign, however. One, the first Adam, he brings, the only thing he can bring to you is death. And the second Adam, the only thing he can bring to you is life. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So let's read 10:10 again. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Something above the ordinary is this abundance. Four times this word is used elsewhere in connection with our salvation if we are saved. Romans tells us of the abundance of grace. Corinthians tells us of the abundance of joy and the abundance of service. And again, the abundance of the fellowship that you and I can have with God. Isn't that amazing? That person that was found one day over 70 years ago and lifted from a dunghill was put in connection, fellowship with the God of the universe. Now you think of the awesomeness of that. Do you realize what happened when you gave your heart to God? This word, abundance, it's the word for an example. You remember Jesus had some 30,000 or better as he was healing. And the evening came. There was nothing to feed them. One of the disciples came to Jesus and said, there's no way we can feed them. If we could just send them in to the village, there wouldn't be enough. We have thousands here to feed. Jesus said, well, is there any food in the camp? Well, there's a little boy that hung on to us, and he had five little biscuits, a lot smaller probably than my mother used to take out of the oven. And so he said, he's got them five little loaves and two little fishes. Well, he said, bring them to me. Set them down. Come on over here. He gave thanks and he began to break and hand them out. Well, everybody, I'm sure they said, I don't know who cooked these fish or made this bread, but it's the best I ever ate. And when everyone had eaten like pigs until they were about ready to pop, couldn't eat anymore, and remember, they were hungry people. They were about to faint, it tells us. They're just about to faint. They've followed you all day. And here they are, and they don't have any place to eat. When they got through, they gathered up 12 baskets full of the scraps. I'm sure it wasn't all scraps, I expect. That had all grown until it was still all good fish and all good bread. What we see here is abundance. Now, if you think God can't make you happy, can't make you content, can't make you grateful, can't give you peace, can't give you rest, can't heal your body, can't meet your needs. If you think that, you need to read what Paul said to the Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do barely what you need. He's able to do exceeding. Paul coins a Greek word there that never had that meaning before, so we read in those that search back into history. Exceeding, it took these words to express the Greek word that is used there. Exceeding, abundantly, above all, we ask or even think according to his ability, you suppose? Don't you think he can heal you? I've been through the mills. I can't tell you how good that someone swelled all up and joints cracking and coming together, and you can't lift your head from a pillow with the pain that I would pray, Lord, let me faint. I can't tell you how good I felt. And every once in a while when I think I feel bad, honey, I just think of what I felt like that night God healed me. Isn't that amazing? God can't? Why, he can do exceeding abundantly above all you ever could ask or think of him, according to his glory, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Did you know that Jesus Christ made everything? Did you know he did? Go out there and your eyes will fail you to even look through this little solar system. And then think of the solar system being like stars in our sky when we think of this galaxy. And then think of the galaxies being like stars in the sky when you think of this universe. And then think of how the universes in the overall universe is like stars in our sky is innumerable. He made all that. He made all that. You make up your mind, he did. All things were made by him and for him. And without him, nothing holds together that holds together. Now, he said, the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that word destroy, the meaning is not extinction. The Greek word means to ruin, to bring loss, not of a being, but of well-being. You think you hurt? You think you've had pain? You think you've been desperate? You think you have been weary? You think that you have come to the end of things many times? I warn you, I plead with you, I tell you, don't keep going with the devil. He'll rob you. He'll kill you when God permits him to. And he'll take you into a Christless eternity with himself. Did you know this Bible tells you God did not make hell for the sinner? He made hell for the devil. But if you want to intrude and go to a devil's hell, that's your choice. And it will be your choice. Don't tell me you don't have a chance. But how can I know what's right? Well, if you don't have, and you don't have the ability to understand the Word of God, though it's simple. So simple. The Bible tells you the natural man, the person that's the offspring of Adam that's never been born again, is the natural man. And he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually understood. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what this is saying? It would be easier for you to have a pet monkey and take him up here if you were up here studying the high mathematics that you could study in one of our universities, and you take that monkey and the both of you study together. Well, he might help you a little if you're that dumb. You see, that monkey has no conception. There is no way he can understand what you understand. He's a monkey. You may act like one, but you're not a monkey. You never did come from a monkey. You came from the hand of the Creator of all things. Now, precious hearts, I don't want to overkeep you, but Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, "Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in," listen to this, "much assurance." This is such a striking declaration in our time, simply because it stands out in such vivid contrast with much that goes on under the name of a message of deliverance, when in reality, if examined under the magnifying glass of this Bible, gives little assurance. Do you know that some of the most popular preachers in the world at this moment is standing in the pulpit telling you, "I've told you about picking up the young man who had just graduated from, and my father was one of the old-time Methodist preachers. I told you how he was hitchhiking, and he was on his way to take up his first pastorate, and he had just left Little Rock Seminary by the Methodist. And as we talked, and I talked with him about his soul, he told me why," he said, "why I've been taught." He said, "Our dean taught us Jonah wasn't really swallowed by a whale. That's just a figure of speech. He said Jesus didn't really physically rise. That's a figure of speech." Before that young man got out of that car, he had heard the simple gospel, and he gave his heart to God. So I don't know. That congregation he went to, Brother Gies, they might have had a surprise. I don't know. They might have had a glad surprise. But if they knew him beforehand, they might have had something that got twisted all up in there. So, precious hearts, let's look again at the purpose of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly." Now, the best promises of men can never say this. But Jesus came, and as many as received him, that is, as many as believed on his name and what he had done at Calvary, were given eternal life. And precious hearts, this is the least that Jesus can give you, is eternal life. He don't give you conditional life. Adam had conditional life, but Jesus, born of him, you receive eternal life. That is, you receive the life that's eternal, just like God the Father is eternal. He didn't have a father. Oh, you say, "I don't understand that." Neither do I. But I'll tell you something else, and you know it. Did you eat breakfast this morning? Did you eat any butter? Well, now you tell me how a black cow can eat green grass, drink clear water, give white milk on which there will be yellow cream, and make that yellow butter. You understand that? Well, do you have to understand it to eat it? You'd starve if you understood what you're putting in your mouth. Don't you know that? And you can, worse than that, you can go to hell trying to understand what this says. You don't understand, you believe. You believe. Fellow said to me, what was in the beginning? I said, God. He said, but I mean what was in the beginning. I said, God. All I can do is quote the scriptures. In the beginning, God. He didn't have a beginning. He was there in the beginning. Now, I don't understand that. God don't ask you to understand it. He asks you to believe it. Someone said to the dear old preacher, he said, well, you believe what? Standing by a wall. What would you do if God said jump through that wall? Well, he said, if I was sure it was God, I'd jump. It isn't up to me to move the wall. That's up to him. Moses, get up and part the sea. Now, you know Moses couldn't part a sea. He couldn't even part the water in a cup, much less hundreds of acres filled with the waters of the Red Sea. And you know what that man did? He foolishly got up and parted the sea. Now, we know who parted the sea, don't we? We know God did it. Precious hearts, I come to this pulpit many times. And if I didn't know that it was not the grasshopper that helped deliver the children of Israel, it was God. He just used a grasshopper. He just used an old dry staff. There were no power in that staff. You could have put it in the richest land that there was and feed it with the finest water and the finest soils. Pile it on there and it'll do nothing but rot. Now you know that, don't you? Listen, let me tell you, the devil doing everything he can to steal it from you this morning. I haven't preached to this quite a group, and I don't know when. I don't know when. I battled all day yesterday for this sermon. It's so simple, yet so real. Well, Jesus comes to give life and give it more abundantly. And this is a triumphant life. It's a life of joyful living. This takes place as we embrace the doctrines Paul was given to declare to us, containing the very unsearchable riches of the doctrines of the Bible that most preachers tell you to stay away from. You see, look, the devil don't give you up. He knows he can never get you back. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows he can never get you back. But he also knows if he can get your ear and your commitment, he can rob you of the only worthwhile inheritance that will ever come your way. Son, what if you had a fella? What if old Bill Gates, for an example, he'd say, now look, Ron, I just kind of like you, and I know you don't have any real money, but I want to leave you $100 million. Oh, my, my, my. What would you do? Why, you'd suddenly become too high and mighty for that sweet thing sitting by you. You'd probably go out yonder and get you a dozen wives. The finest, the prettiest, because, and you'd think they fell in love with you, and you'd be a bigger fool, because they weren't after you, they were after your money. You know, a lot of folk wouldn't have any friends if they didn't have money. There bums come up and down these alleys. They don't have a friend. Why? They don't have any money. I tell you, that's not a friend.
Amen.
A friend loves at all times. That's what this says. Loves at all times. He loves you when you're poor. He loves you when you're down. He loves you when you're out. He loves you when you slip and fall and whatever and whatever. So the devil comes and he said, now look at there. There sits that guy. There sits that woman. And I know the Bible tells them, if they'll believe it, tells them if they're a child of God, they're an heir of God, and they can be a joint heir with God if they will suffer together with Him. Now, that don't mean you go to a cross, but sometimes you feel like you just about got on a cross. Oh, the people I've had an experience with, and they thought they were doing me damage, and I'm going to have to close this thing up. They thought they were doing me damage, Brother Geese. But really, you know what? They were just polishing crown.
Amen.
What do you think about it?
Amen.
How many of them prisoners try to warm up to you, buddy, because you're the boss? They don't care for you. This guy cares for you. That guy cares for you. And if they don't, they need to come and talk to me. Because there was something came into my life that made me love everybody.
Jesus.
I feel sorry for poor old Saddam over there. He's going to get his comeuppance. And if they don't give it to him,
God will.
He's got to meet God. And God's in no hurry. He's got forever. You see, God don't have to catch up with you today. He's got forever. One of these days, you're just going to be like you're in a funnel. And it just gets smaller and smaller, and one day out you come. So don't think you're getting by with anything. You can be forgiven, but you can't get by. Be not deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatsoever men sow, that's what they reap. You know what, Brother Geese? I'm going to tell you a fantastic tale. You know, I went out there and put a lot of beans in my garden, and what came up? Mustard. Now, you know that's not so, don't you? So you're going to go out here and live like a grasshopper in the sunshine. And when the winter comes, you're going to be like the ant. No, that's not right. You're going to meet exactly. God is fair. He has to be fair. If you can corrupt God in any way, He isn't worth spit. But when He says something, it means exactly what He said.
Amen.
And you better find it out. But now, that thief has come. And here's a child of God. And he said, now I know there's even so-called good preachers that are telling them doctrine is a dangerous thing. Stay away from that hill. He tells you, he quotes the promises of God and tries to get you to believe them. Now, that's not important. That just separates God's people. I say, yes, it'll separate you. You go with God. Amen. You go separate. Now, you might find one old guy that's crippled and about to fall in. You see, you thought years ago you'd attend my funeral. I may preach your God. See, I'm old enough to be your daddy over and over. You never know what God will do. Here's my grandson. And I can remember when he tried to get my support. Poor wee wee. He was there in his baby bed and he wanted me to take him the first time I saw him. His mom was making him stay in a baby bed. Poor wee wee. See, keeps it up. He might preach my funeral, and who can tell? But he don't want to get to thinking so, because I just might preach his. Amen. That can come off fast. You can get up this morning, and you'll be in eternity before the morning's over. Death is just a step away. Just a step between me and death. Every morning I kind of look forward to it. I'm homesick. I've got them over there waiting to see me. Just let me get through that door. And I'm going to make a beeline for the feet of Jesus. And then, maybe after 2 or 3 million years, I'll have time to kiss old Ernie. Don't you want that? Well, now let me tell you, there's two people here vying for your life. That is two powers. One of them wants to give you eternal life if you've never had it yet. And if you have, he wants to make you a joint heir with himself. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that so-called biggest throne in this world now that Bush sits on? That's just a bunch of rubble. You see, God's offering you, and it's real. I'm not joking with you. I'm not just trying to sell you something. I'm telling you the fact. It's real. Amen. One day, by the grace of God, you're going to see me sitting at the side of Jesus.
Amen.
But there's an enemy, and he's given his best to steal that from me. He knows he can't put me back, though he's got a lot of God's people that they tell me they're saved, and I tell them, well, you're not saved according to what you believe. You're not saved. You yourself say it's a conditional thing. Well, if it's conditional, I'm not really saved. But, oh, thank God, and I'll close with this. Thank God I'll close with this. I know that I'm as safe as Jesus is.
Amen.
Isn't that awful?
No.
For this old no guy to say he knows. You know why I know? He said it.
Amen.
He said it. I didn't say it. I have no confidence in me, brother. But oh, I have it all tied up in him.
Amen.
And I almost preached this morning. on, he will perfect that which concerneth me. I had an awful struggle talking this way this morning. I don't know why I did, but I did. So I did. I trust, and I think I know it's what the Lord wanted me to talk about.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Love you, man.
Love you.
I'll tell you, these old bald-headed guys, they get to be something. See, is yours so thin you can see your scalp when you get it wet? That's the way mine is. Well, let's pray. While every head is bowed, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your precious Son. Thank you that we have an abundant entrance by him. We ask you that you'll deal with hearts. Don't let people get out of this place until they're sure. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.